So, if you're visiting us for the first time today, in Jan, we've kind of been walking through 2 Corinthians 4, and I think two of the big topics that we've covered as we go through 2 Corinthians 4, the first has been that the veil is removed, and we have the privilege to look at God face to face, and that we get to engage with Him, that we get to walk with Him, and that it's no longer the separation between us. And then we moved on with 2 Corinthians 4, and the second part of that portion of Scripture speaks about the topic we all love and want to hear about all the time, suffering. But Kala shared last week just how, if we look at that portion, how the purpose of God is to bring us to the end of ourselves. It's not to preserve who we are and what we have, but it's to reveal Christ in us and through us for other people. And we looked at that, and I would encourage you guys, if you weren't around and didn't have the chance to listen to that, to go check it out. But it's quite a weighty word of like the Lord allowing certain things within our lives, allowing us to go through difficulty with Him working and to an end that He's working. And we see in the last part of 2 Corinthians 4, if we can read from verse 16. It says, "We do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." And so, it's like Paul highlights this fact that there's this two things at play. It's like our suffering and our present realities is something we experience. It is real. But although this is happening, it's like, take note, on a deeper level, God is busy working an eternal weight of glory through all of these things. And you see this throughout the Bible where it's this, like both sides of things. It's like my reality, the things that I'm experiencing, but at the same time, God is busy working. God is busy doing something in me. And verse 18 is what I want us to start off with and look at, because I think it's a really important part for us in how we get from bridging my reality with what God is doing. And so 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "These things, this eternal weight of glory is being prepared for us as we look to the things that are, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient." So transient, like they're passing away, but the things that are unseen is eternal. And I think this is critical for us as believers. It's not just in isolation here, but the very walk of Christianity is putting our eyes on a greater truth, on something that we cannot just see, something that doesn't always make sense to us in our minds. And we see this in Hebrews 11, verse 1, where this is the essence of what faith is. It says, it's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And for us as believers, coming to God, there's this shift that takes place within our hearts that I will no longer live according to my experience, the things that I can see. I now choose this new reality. But then there's also the walking this thing out as we experience suffering, as we go through life, as we experience the different challenges, the different successes of life. This is going to be something that constantly we need to set our eyes on, not just the here and the now, not just the things that we can see, but the things that are unseen. And we'll be confronted with these things daily. And I think one of the things I want us to just realize also today is that God does give us a choice, that God gives us the ability to decide whether I'm going to choose to rely on my own instincts. Am I going to rely on the things that I can see, what my circumstances are, what logic tells me in this moment? Or am I going to put my faith and trust in what God tells me and what what His truth is. And so in praying for this morning, there's a portion of Scripture that that I want us to unpack a little bit, and this is going to be in Luke 5. So Luke 5, it's sort of early on in the Gospel. By this point, Jesus was obviously born. We see, I think it's in about Luke 3, we see John the Baptist preparing the way, Jesus being pointed out as the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. We see how Jesus is baptized. He has his 40 days in the wilderness. And then in Luke 4, Jesus starts performing miracles, and you see how people are starting to come around Jesus, and he's starting to build up this following. His ministry has now started. But in Luke's account, he does not yet have any disciples that he has called. And so Luke 5 is the start of this. So if we can start at verse 1, please. So we're going to read through quite a bit of Luke 5 in this account. So on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of that word. Verse 2. And he saw two boats by the lake, and the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came, they filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So growing up, I actually had a lot of different fishing experiences. I think it was quite a thing the way my brother and I spent time with my dad. If you have spent time with my dad, you'll know that sport is a big deal for him. So any kind of ball sport was the one, fishing was the other. So at some point, we stayed in KwaZulu-Natal for about 6-7 years. So by the coast, and we would go fishing often. Like, the etched into my memory, even as a small boy, was the waking up before dawn, climbing in. We would go with other people in their bucky and shoot up along the coast. Like, it's pitch dark. Even when you arrive there, it's still dark. You setting out, you casting in, you hopefully catching some fish. And it's this like big effort to actually get out there. Then we move back to the Free State, no longer by the ocean. Now you're at the dam with the millies, casting those those boom, if you know what the boom is. If you know, you know. Busy catching carp and barber and like these kinds of things. And we would sometimes go, friends of us had a farm with a dam about an hour and a half from Bloom. We'd go spend the night there, throw in the lines, and you sit and you wait and you see that thing go. And then later on, my dad got into kayak fishing. And so I've gone out a few times with him with that as well. And you go out, but it's quite a mission, like having to get the kayak down, getting all the things ready just for you to go. You haven't caught anything. You're on the little boat. You go out. You spend a bunch of time. You're rowing. At least with the kayaking, if you don't catch anything, you got some rowing in the ocean in. And then you get back. And if you've put in a lot of effort with these things, it's great to arrive with like a big fish. It's really nice for people to be asking you like, "Oh, what did you catch?" And you can like whip something out there. One of my favorite stories with my dad is he caught a big tuna that while he was catching it on the kayak, like it took him, I think, about a kilometer in the ocean just trying to reel that thing in. But the worst is when you get back to land and you haven't caught a thing. The question of what did you guys catch feels like an insult. It feels like they are trying to point something out in you, and it's like difficult to hold in your insecurity in that moment. It's like, nothing. Something that's almost as bad as if you only caught small fish. But my dad taught us a trick from young. He's like, if people ask what size fish you caught, you say this big. So there's something just to that kind of disappointment. Like you spend all this energy and effort to achieve something, and it just does not come through. Now, we are very much on the recreational fishing side. Imagine this was your life. Like, you are reliant on this potentially for part of your food, but definitely for your income. It's a lot more effort in those days, I think, to prepare a lot of these things. The type of boat that you would have, the type of netting that they would use, the care that they would have to put into the thing so that it doesn't just break. And we see how these guys spend an entire evening in that exchange that Simon has with Jesus. It's like, we toiled all night. We worked all night trying to catch these fish. And nothing came from it. So they already had that experience. And what's interesting is that the portion speaks about as the crowd started gathering, there were these boats, and these guys were already actually cleaning their nets. It wasn't as if they were sort of in the act of fishing. It's like they've given up, it's done, they are busy cleaning up. And now Jesus comes to them and says, but can we get back into the boat, like go a little bit offshore? And I think, like, I'm curious for Simon and them, what did they hear about Jesus at this point? Because the crowds are starting to gather. Maybe they've heard some of the stories of his miracles, but maybe they're just seeing, like, whoa, okay, this guy's teaching. There's a bunch of people around him. He comes to them and asks, can you take me out a little on the boat? And sort of the picture there is Jesus standing a bit off from where the people are on the boat, being able to share with them. And it's like, okay, if I was Simon, I would be thinking, cool, preacher man, he's there, he's doing his thing, he's preaching, that is his field. I'm the fisherman, I'm creating this opportunity for him. And the next moment, Jesus says, let's go catch some fish. Now, again, these guys just cleaned their nets. It's like, okay, we're doing you a favor here, but now we worked all night. We know what we're doing. It's like, this is my occupation. This is what I do all the time. I'm out there catching fish. I can tell you I tried everything. I threw it up this side. I threw it up that side. We went in all the different spots. But still, there's something in Simon that he said, at your word, Lord, I'll do this. And the next moment, we see this incredible thing happened where they didn't catch anything all night, and all of a sudden they start catching these fish and they have to call in help. And for them, you see the response that they had was not like, oh yes, we can take this to the market and make a bunch of money. It's like the response was God moved. It wasn't just about the fish that God provided, but it was like God moved, and it showed something of the reality of Jesus and the word of Jesus and putting our trust in Jesus. Now, imagine just this story playing out and Simon just being like, you got your job, I got mine, I know what I'm doing. I'm tired. Like, it's been a rough night. Sorry, Jesus. You can ask someone else to go do that. Like, so much of the New Testament story actually results from this engagement, from Simon coming and knowing God, the James and John coming to know Jesus. And I think there's some things just that we can actually look at from the story for us as well, and the way that God engages with us, that I hope will be helpful as we consider how we go from just the scene, the challenges, our reality, and the things that God has actually called us to. So in praying through this, I think there was a real sense of, like, I think for some of us, there's been work, like a lot of labor, a lot of things that you have given from your side. And you might have been faithful in it and like doing the right thing, but just not experiencing what you thought you should have experienced. Or it might just be that because of life, because of circumstances, you find yourself in a place where you are disappointed in the catch. You are disappointed in like what has resulted from your life. You might be tired, and it's difficult to actually push through in the things that you theoretically know is right. Or it might even get to the point where you start questioning, like, is this thing that I'm doing, is the thing that I'm believing, is it what I'm holding on to, giving my time and my energy for, like, is this actually what I should be giving myself to? I'm not seeing any fish. I've labored the whole night. I'm tired. I'm over this. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I am tired, I had little sleep, I'm just a bit more edgy. And things just feel like more of a mountain. People's comments just hit me in a different way. And so it's so easy if you're tired and someone asks you, like, hey, can you please just help out with this? Either you react strongly, or you just like, oh no, please, 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 please don't do that to me. And this is the kind of thing that I think they are also faced with in this scenario. It's like, you've spent all this time, you are exhausted, and now you're being asked something. And Jesus asking you actually something quite seemingly simple and mundane. And I think in that state of being tired, of being hurt, of being disappointed, it is a lot more difficult to turn our eyes from the seen to the unseen. It becomes so much more tangible, and it's so much more of our reality, just that thing, the tiredness, the disappointment, the lack of fruit. But it's exactly this place that Jesus wants to come in all of our lives. And I think before just moving on to the second part, like this morning in prayer meeting, there was something that just, I think, struck me in God's compassion. Something that struck me in the way that God actually comes and meets us in these situations. That it's like God sees, God knows those places of hurt. God knows those places of disappointment. God knows those areas where you have grown tired. And He comes into that and He meets you in that. And like as we were praying this morning, it was like, man, I really want to trust that as I'm speaking even, that you would experience how God draws near to that. But I think the important thing is that as God draws near, He knows what it takes to get us out of that. He knows what it takes to move us from this reality to the next reality. And I think for us as well, there's something where God comes and He meets us there. But He might be asking us, hey, can you go in a little bit deeper and cast out your net again? And so that's the second thing that I just want us to look to. The way that Jesus came and met with them, was not, hey, I've got a word for you guys. You are going to catch all the fish. There's some prophetic word, someone, John, coming to Peter and them and saying, like, hey, Jesus is going to ask you guys to do something, but just know there's going to be a big result as because of your actions. There wasn't some like precursor prophetic word to hold on to. It also wasn't a big spiritual thing that Jesus came and asked of them. It was a very mundane, day-to-day, practical thing in their line of work that they are very familiar with. And I think just for us, like Ryan and I went walking yesterday and chatting about it, I think being in God's family and hearing a lot of incredible testimonies and like wanting to see God move, I think we sometimes want the big spiritual expression to stir faith in us. It's like, God, ask, like, if you're going to ask something of me, let it, like, speak to me clearly. Let it be this big prophetic word. Let the action be something of significance so that I can know that you are with me, so that I know that you are asking me to do this thing. Or the first thing that I said, God, let, if this is you, like, let someone give me a prophetic word and make sure, like, if I'm going to do this, let me know what's going to be the outcome of this. But that's often not, and I would actually say mostly not, the way that Jesus works with us. I think similar to the way that he met with these disciples to be, he often comes to us with something seemingly mundane, something seemingly worthless. And it's like, I've gone through so much. What difference is this one thing going to make? But I think for all of us, like, can we position ourselves the way that Simon did in that moment? It's like, there was very much an acknowledgement, like, Lord, I worked all night. But at your word, I'm willing to go. And I want to ask us, just like, where is your heart in terms of these things? Like, are you at that place where you can say, this is my reality, but Jesus, at your word, I'm willing. I'm willing to take that step. And just again, that step is probably not some prophetic word for you to bring up front. It's probably not the praying for healing. It's like, it's probably something mundane in your day-to-day life that God's going to put his finger on. And I think similar to this, it's like, as we respond to that, there's something of God breaking in and seeing, like, this mundane little action all of a sudden connects my reality to this, the big purposes and move of God. And so, I really felt that for some of us sitting here, there is actually already something that the Lord is putting his finger on. But it's that thing of like, I just don't see how this is going to make a difference. Or, like, I'm tired, God. Like, I'm worn out. I'm disappointed. Like, I can't see how this is going to work. Like, I've got such a strong conviction that if you were sitting with that, like, this is part of the Lord saying, I see, but it's me calling you to do that thing. So if you are sitting with that, get into the deep side and throw out that net. Like, take that step of faith. I think another group of us, like, and we'll create a moment at the end of this, like, I think we need to open up ourselves just to actually for the Lord to speak to us in this way. That we might have had that mindset of, like, God might speak about the big things, but he wants to come this morning, and maybe he wants to come speak into the more mundane things. But then also just in, I think in general, there is a lot that God has already said. There's a lot of very practical, basic things that God has already given us. And again, I think the danger of being part of a charismatic church, of like hearing a lot of people getting prophetic words, is that we start putting that way above the things that God has actually already said to us. And if this feels basic for you, if the getting into the Word day by day feels like, how is that going to make a difference? It's the same thing where this, the hearing of God's Word, we see that in Romans, it's after Romans 10, where it speaks about like faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Like spending time in this, getting to this, responding to the instructions that God has given us in this is the vehicle that God is going to use to break into our lives.